You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that pays tribute to people of the past by telling their stories today. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're talking about the sad day when a quiet Welsh village became known around the world as the town without children. The day was October 21st, 1966. An avalanche of coal waste swept through the village of Aberfan in South Wales, claiming the lives of 144 people. The tragedy in Aberfan was one of the worst mining disasters the country had ever known. The landslide swallowed everything in its path, including a farm, several houses, and the Pantglass Junior School, where half the children in the village were killed. During the Industrial Revolution, coal mining became the dominant industry in Wales. And though it was in decline by the 1960s, the coal pits were still the biggest employer in Aberfan. At the time, the small Welsh town was home to about 5,000 people, most of whom worked in the area's coal mines. As you might imagine, coal mining creates a great deal of waste. When the lump coal taken from the mines is washed, earth minerals and other fine particles are left behind. This waste rock slurry, also known as spoil, piles up fast, so it has to be routinely dumped into a designated area known as a spoil tip. The village of Aberfan sits at the foot of a broad hillside known as Mynydd Merthyr, and in 1966, there were 7 spoil tips on that hillside. Tip number 7, which was started in 1958, was perched on this steep hillside directly above the village. As mining continued, the spoil tip grew larger, and by 1966, it towered 111 feet high and contained nearly 300,000 cubic yards of coal waste. The people of Aberfan were not oblivious to the danger hanging right over their heads. In 1963 and 1964, residents and local officials petitioned the operators of the mine, the National Coal Board, to do something about the mountain of waste that threatened to flood their town. They pointed out that the Pantglass Junior School and its more than 200 students would be directly in the path of such a landslide. But in the end, their concerns were ignored. According to later reports from the BBC, the National Coal Board essentially gave the town an ultimatum. Keep quiet, or the mine you depend on will close. With the village's livelihood on the line, the conversation stopped there, but the danger kept on growing. On the morning of October 21st, 1966, the spoil tip above Aberfan was swollen after 3 weeks of steady rain. Below it, students at Pantglass were attending morning assembly on the half day of school before their midterm break. At 9:15 a.m., material from tip number 7 gave way, and a flood of slurry and debris began rushing down the hill at a speed of over 80 miles per hour. The students heard an ominous sound heading toward their school. An 8-year-old survivor named Gaynor Minette described the moment 4 years later. She said, quote, "It was a tremendous rumbling sound, and all the school went dead. You could hear a pin drop. Everyone was petrified, afraid to move. I just managed to get up, and I reached the end of my desk when the sound got louder and nearer until I could see the black out of the window. I can't remember anymore, but I woke up to find that a horrible nightmare had just begun in front of my eyes." The black that Gaynor glimpsed was a 30-foot-high wave of liquefied coal waste just before it burst through the building and flooded her classroom and 3 others. The sad irony was that most of the men from the village were at work in the mines when this happened, and it was the spoil from their pits that had engulfed the school. Those same men were the first to arrive on the scene, and with the help of their wives and people from other nearby towns, they did everything possible to reach the students trapped inside the school. They dug away piles of sludge and debris with every tool they had, and because of their quick, desperate work, they saved the lives of 25 children. 5 of those students had survived till their rescue because of the quick thinking of the school's cook, Nancy Williams. She sacrificed her life by shielding the kids with her own body. But after 11 a.m. that morning, no one else was found alive. A day later, steam shovels and bulldozers carved through the thick debris, and a constant stream of trucks carried it away. Even at that pace, it was nearly a week before the town realized the full scope of the tragedy. 116 children and 28 adults, including 5 teachers, had been lost. In the aftermath, a tribunal was tasked with investigating what had happened. The panel interviewed over 100 witnesses and examined 300 exhibits of evidence. The conclusion was that the National Coal Board was solely responsible for the disaster. In its report, the tribunal noted that the event could and should have been prevented, writing, quote, "The Aberfan disaster is a terrifying tale of bungling ineptitude by many men charged with tasks for which they were totally unfitted, of failure to heed clear warnings, and of total lack of direction from above. Not villains, but decent men led astray by foolishness or by ignorance or by both in combination." The National Coal Board was slow to accept responsibility, and even slower to attempt restitution. Thankfully, there was no such hesitation in the people of the United Kingdom. The Aberfan Disaster Memorial Fund was established on the very day of the landslide, and by the time it closed in January of the following year, it had raised more than £1.7 million, the equivalent of around £20 million, or more than $25 million today. Much of the money went to repairing the village and caring for the injured, but those who had been most affected by the tragedy received shockingly little. The fund's managers only offered £500 each to bereaved parents, and even that was only due to pushback following their initial offer of £50 each. A large portion of the funds went to the removal of the remaining spoil tips that loomed above the town. The National Coal Board had been asked to cover this cost, but it refused. Today, Aberfan is no longer a coal mining village. The events of 1966 left deep and lasting psychological scars on the people who survived the ordeal, and their pain lingers to this day. The site of Pantglass Junior School is now a memorial garden. It's lined with 116 white arches, one for each child who was killed on that fateful morning. May they and the other victims rest in peace, and may those who place profits above the lives of their fellow man face justice. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and you can write to us at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.